Pretty excited to be back up here. It's always a privilege to be able to teach from the Word of God. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm going to invite you guys to turn with me to Psalm chapter 139. And then before we get started, I'm just going to ask for God's help. God, I thank you just for another opportunity to proclaim your word and to share the word of God. We understand that your word is holy and that it's powerful, and we ask that we would understand the authority that is in your word. And I pray that you would guide my thoughts and my words tonight, and that you would prevent anything that is not true from coming out of my mouth. We just thank you for everyone that's here. We pray that you would prepare our hearts to hear from your word and to learn something from it tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, I want to look at a question, or I guess two questions, kind of a two-part question, that's been on my mind for about the last year or so. And the question is this: as a Christian, or as a believer, what does it mean to fear God? And does that mean, or does that include, that I should be afraid of him? So as a Christian, what does it mean to fear God? And does that mean, or does that include, that I should be afraid of him? And I just want to clarify here, because I know that there's people that are more experienced and more knowledgeable about this topic than I am, that I'm not trying to explain the entire topic of the fear of God. I don't understand the whole topic or the whole concept. I'm going to look specifically at one or two aspects of it. And I understand that there is other parts to this, but I'm just clarifying that I'm only looking at specific parts of that tonight. So Psalm chapter 139, we're going to first have the question: the fear of God, does that mean or does that include that I should be afraid of God? So Psalm chapter 139, verses 17 and the first part of verse 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. Let me read that again. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. So what we can understand from this verse is that God loves us, and that his innumerable and his infinite amount of thoughts that he has for us are precious thoughts. Right, God loves us. That's a basic gospel concept, is that God loves us. His thoughts towards us are precious, and he desires to have a personal relationship with us. God wants to be close to us. Okay. So with that in mind, how can we, as Christians, looking at this question, should I be afraid of God? How can I, as a Christian, having a relationship with God already, having the Holy Spirit inside of me, and knowing this about God, that he desires a relationship with me, that he loves me, that he has an infinite amount of precious thoughts towards me, how can I be afraid of God? Okay, how could I want some sort of separation or some sort of distance between me and God because I'm frightened by him or because I'm afraid of him? I should want to be close to God just like God wants to be close to me. And if I have a relationship with God, then that should be even more true. Just as an example of this, if I say I'm afraid of flowers, okay, and Jesse and I have a fairly close relationship, so let's say Jesse wanted to do something very special for me, to show his appreciation for our friendship, okay? So He comes to my house some Saturday morning with just a spread, and he is so excited to give me this vast bouquet of flowers. Okay, but he does not know that I'm afraid of flowers. Okay, so he's excited to give me these, just do something special. Now he's going to knock on the door. When I open the door and I see this big bouquet of flowers, I'm either going to slam the door, knock it out of his hand, run back in the house, do something. But what I'm going to do is try to get as far away as from those flowers as I possibly can. Okay, because I'm afraid of them. I want distance between me and the flowers. The last thing I want is to be close to those flowers. Okay? So my point is that if we're afraid of God, we would want to distance ourselves from him. We would not want to be close to God. We would want to distance ourselves from him, and the last thing we would want would be close to God if we were frightened by him. Okay? Now, there are frightening and terrifying aspects and characteristics of God, and the reason why those things are frightening or scary is because God is perfectly holy and perfectly just, and we are not. Okay, so because God is perfectly holy, he can only accept what is perfectly holy into his kingdom, okay? And since we are not just and we are not holy, God has to punish that. But now, if we are believers, God has already poured out all his wrath on Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins, and there's nothing left. There's no more wrath for us. Romans 8 says there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? All the wrath of God that we would have the right to be afraid of, we don't have that anymore because there's no more condemnation for us. There is no wrath for us if we are in Christ Jesus because Jesus paid it. I have a quote here from John Bevere. It says, "The person who is scared of God has something to hide." Okay, I'm just going to pause that. There's more to this quote. I just want to hold it there and turn to Genesis 3. Okay, and then we're going to come back to this quote. Okay. So in Genesis 3, at this point, Adam and Eve had just disobeyed God for the first time. Okay, so they had just gone against the character of God for the first time, and they had sinned. So in Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" Okay? So Adam and Eve had just sinned. They had just disobeyed God for the first time. So now they realize that they were no longer in a right relationship with God. They had separated themselves from God, and now Adam was afraid of him and therefore wanted to distance himself from God and tried to do that by hiding himself. Okay? So back to this quote from John Bevere. It says, "The person who is scared of God has something to hide. The person who fears God has nothing to hide. They're scared to be away from God." Okay, the person who fears God has nothing to hide, but they're scared to be away from God. So we look at this example. They had just sinned, and that created a separation from God, which made them want to hide. So what creates that separation? And this is also a very basic gospel concept, that sin is what separates us from God. Okay, so when they sinned, they hid, because they now felt distance from God. They were afraid of him. They were scared. They wanted to hide. So it's sin that causes a separation between us and God. But now us, if we have a relationship with God, we want to embrace God. We want to love him. We want to be as close to him as possible. So we should not want that separation. Okay, so we should not want We should be trying to prevent whatever is getting in the way of our relationship with God. Whatever is causing that separation between us and God, we want to get rid of that. Okay? So you turn with me to two verses in Proverbs. We'll start with Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance is the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate." The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. And then just a couple of chapters over, Proverbs 16 and verse 6. Proverbs 16:6 says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." So we should not want that separation. We should not want what is causing the separation between us and God, which is sin. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil," or to hate sin. And when we fully embrace the love of God and his loving character, as well as his holy and just character, we will understand that going against him or displeasing him creates a separation that we do not want. And why don't we want this? Because we understand who he is and that he does not accept and cannot accept anything less than absolute holiness and righteousness. So we will act, live, and approach God, yes, freely and openly because of our relationship with him, but cautiously, reverently, and respectfully, hating evil and being terrified to displease him because we are terrified to be away from him. So the point here is sin is what's separating us from God. And if I want to be as close to God as possible and be terrified of displeasing God because I'm terrified of being away from God, I'm terrified to displease God because displeasing him is sin, and sin is what causes that separation. Okay, the best example I heard to kind of tie this all together was an example about a child and their father. Okay, the child loves their father, and this is just everyone can relate to this, just any child with a relationship with their father. The child loves their father because he has shown and proven that he loves them. The child loves to be and wants to be with their father. And when there's danger, the child feels safest in the arms of their father. They are in no way afraid of him. So the child loves the father, father loves the child, and the child is in no way afraid of their father. Okay? That's how most children are not afraid of their dad, in my experience. When the child disobeys their father or goes against his will, the father has to provide correction and consequences for their actions. Okay? And then after this, the child is still in no way afraid of their father. They still love their father and they're not afraid of him, but they are terrified to displease him because they know what that consequence is like, and they know the separation that it causes between them and their father when they displease him. That's the best example I've heard of this, to put it in kind of our situations here. Another quote here from Josh Hageman. He's an American pastor. He said, "When we remove this fear element from our relationship with God, what we are actually doing is removing any and all authority for correction that he would have over our lives. Consequence does not exist anymore." I found this really relatable. "And we begin to look at sin and evil, and instead of hating it, we begin to make excuses for it. What is wrong becomes right, and what is right becomes wrong. Confusion will reign supreme." So what he's saying is when we don't fear God, when we don't hate evil, we don't see the evil as quite as bad, or we'll start to make excuses for it. You know, we'll say, that's not really that bad. That's not hurting anybody. That's not affecting my relationship with God. I can do this, and I can continue to do this, or it's not that bad if I do this. We will make excuses for it, and we do not hate evil. Okay, there's a difference between understanding that you are sinning and hating that sin. There's a story of an American pastor. He was leading a church, and he was on fire for God, and he really loved the Lord Jesus, and his church was growing. And then, as a human, he tripped up, he messed up, and he stumbled pretty badly, and things went downhill pretty quickly, and he ended up in jail. And then news of this kind of traveled around the country and internationally, and then another pastor heard his story and came to the prison to just chat with him. And when he was there, he was talking to this guy who was in prison, and he asked him the question, assuming that because he fell into that much sin that he no longer loved Jesus, okay, or that he had kind of forgotten his relationship with God. This is what he was assuming. And he asked him the question, when did you fall out of love with Jesus, or when did you stop loving Jesus? And this is what the guy told him. He said, I still love Jesus, and at that time, I still loved Jesus, but I didn't fear God. Okay, he said he loved Jesus, but he didn't fear God. So if we look at it with these verses, he didn't fear God, he didn't hate evil, right? He didn't hate sin. He wasn't afraid of the separation that caused between him and God when he sinned. He wasn't terrified of being away from God because sin causes that separation. And he didn't see sin as quite as bad, or wasn't terrified to fall into sin, because he didn't hate it. Okay, because he didn't hate evil, he didn't see it as quite as bad, and therefore fell into it more easily. So we need to hate evil, as it says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate sin, because it causes separation from God, and we want to be as close to God as possible, and terrified of the separation, terrified to displease him, because that's what causes the separation, and we are terrified to be away from God. We want to be as close to God as possible. So just in conclusion, to wrap it all up, I'm going to read another verse in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Verse says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And if I was going to almost rephrase that verse with what we have just looked at, could say, let us get rid of or cleanse ourselves or take anything out of our lives that is displeasing to God and is sinful and is against the character of God. Is get rid of that completely and hate that. Take that out of our lives. Be terrified to do anything to do with that because that causes separation. And bring holiness to completion in our lives because we are terrified to displease him, and because that causes separation, and because we are terrified to be away from him. Okay, I'm just going to read that verse again. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'm just going to close in prayer. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you are a God to be feared, and that You give us answers to the questions that we have if we look for them. And we thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, paid for the wrath that we deserve, the wrath of God. He paid for it on the cross willingly just because he loves us. We pray that we would begin to hate sin and to hate evil and try to be as far away of it, as far away from it as possible, because we're terrified to be away from you, and we know that sin is what separates us from God. We just pray now for safety on our travels back home. We just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.